this evening, what happens when we pray. And I want to read Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13 as a foundation for the whole week. "This is then how you should pray," Jesus said. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Our focus tonight is verse 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And I want to suggest to you this evening that as we pray this verse, we grow stronger in relationships. And from this verse, there are two relationships that I want to highlight before we pray together. First of all, it's the relationship with God. On the face of this statement, God the Father could seem distant and remote because he is in heaven. But the opposite is true, because the Greek word translated can mean air, sky, and the place beyond the atmosphere. Heaven was and is all three. David captured this thought in Psalm 139 when he says, "Where can I flee from you? Where can I go away from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there." I believe in this statement, Jesus is saying to these people, his disciples, and those who would follow, that God the Father is nearer than you think. He is in heaven, that place beyond the atmosphere. He is in the sky, and he is in the very breath, the very air that we breathe. God is not confined to anywhere. So when we encounter God the Father on earth, it is a touch of heaven. And when we pray, earth meets heaven and heaven meets earth. And Jesus wanted them to know and to understand this wonderful truth that the Father is nearer than you think. Now, this statement in the context of the spiritual culture was both radical and profound. The Jews would never address God as Father. Yet this word translated it from the Aramaic, it means Abba, Papa, Daddy. It's a term of endearment. It signifies intimacy. It's up close and personal. I led a minister's fraternal for many years in Amersham. And this minister joined us this day, and she was an absolute delight. And we became good friends. But I will never forget her opening prayer that day. This is what she said. "Dear divine parent." I thought, that's interesting. I thought, it's true. God should be honored and God should be respected and his name should be hallowed, but he also needs to be known as a loving, compassionate, caring Papa, Abba, Daddy God. Over the years, I have recognized that many Christians have an orphan spirit because they fail to live in the fullness of their adoption. Paul says this, "Because you are sons and daughters of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son within your hearts in order that you might cry, Abba, Father." Papa God, Daddy God. Now, I want you to notice that this cry does not come from the mind. It does not come from intellect. It comes from the heart. This relationship that God longs to cultivate is all from the heart. It's about intimacy. It's about experience. I say to you this evening that it's one thing to know theologically that you're loved as a child of God, but it's another thing to know in your heart that God loves you as a son, that God loves you as a daughter. And I speak from experience. I was born into a family of 10, being the youngest. I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters. So when I came along, to be completely honest with you, my dad had enough of children. And I cannot remember ever being hugged by my father. I can never remember any expression of love that my father gave towards me. I can never even remember spending any time with Dad on his own. He was a distant dad. I was saved in 1977, and I knew in my head that God loved me and I loved him, and I wanted to live for him and I wanted to serve him. So we went to Bible college in 1983, and that's where we met Will and Tracy. I was ordained into the ministry in 1986, pastored my first church in Barnstable, a church of 50, and within 5 years, it grown to 250, and now it's over 600, and we experienced the hand of God's blessing. Then we moved through to Bournemouth to pastor another church, and we planted several churches, and we saw the hand and the goodness and the kindness of God and the blessing of God. But in 1995, my life changed drastically. I went to a conference on the Father Heart of God. And during a time of worship, when heaven came down, I opened my heart to this wonderful truth that was in my head for over 16 years, that God loved me. And the Spirit of God came and he flooded my heart and he flooded my soul with the outrageous, extravagant love of the Father. And my relationship with God was never the same again. I was totally and utterly different. I was a different husband. I was a different dad, different pastor, a different son, because the love of God had arrested my heart. And I came to understand and realize that my earthly father, bless him, he was nothing like my heavenly father. He was only a poor reflection of what was to come. This is what John says. John says, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, because that is what we are. And God longs to lavish his love upon each of us. I turned 60 2 years ago, and I see many of you are shocked by that, but I'm 62. And Liz decided that she'd take me on holiday as a treat. And we got to the airport and she said, you go and have a coffee. I'm going to buy someone something. And she came back and she had a gift bag. And inside the gift bag was my favorite aftershave. And then she said something that took my breath away, even to this day. She gave me this gift bag and she said to me, this is the first of 60 surprises for your 60th birthday as an expression of my love to you. No, I think she was even surprised that she made that statement. But she did what she promised. Over the year, she gave me 60 surprises to express her love to me. And as I was preparing this talk for this evening, the Lord reminded me of that. And I believe as we spend time alone with God this week, as we pray and fast, he longs to thrill us and surprise us with his love. He longs to take our breath away. He longs to sing over us with love songs. He longs to declare and affirm, this is my son. This is my boy. This is my daughter. This is my girl in whom I am well pleased. Our Father, our relationship with him. Second relationship I want to highlight before we pray, and that's a relationship with each other. You see, it's our Father, it's not my Father. It's our bread, not my bread. It's our sin, not just my sin. Each part of this prayer is in the plural. Now, here's the good news. We are family. We've got the same dad. We've got the same bloodline. We've got the same DNA. We belong together. We belong to the biggest family in the world. Did you know that there is 2.382 billion people in the family of God? Isn't that amazing? And we belong together. We are joined together. When I was ill with COVID last March, we had over 100 churches in over 7 different nations praying for us. And we received texts and emails and texts from all over the world from the family of God. And as we pray together, and as we pray for each other, especially in these difficult, unprecedented days, something happens. Something in the spiritual realm happens. Our relationship grows. Our roots grow deeper, making us stronger to stand as the family of God and be all that God has called us to be as the family of God together. Now, my prayer for you today and throughout this week and in the coming days is that of Paul for the church at Ephesus. Let me read it to you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. This is my prayer for you, that you may grow stronger in power, that you would know the filling in these days and the anointing of God's Spirit in your life and in the church, in the family, verse 16. My prayer is that you will grow stronger in faith in these difficult, unprecedented days. In the midst of the storm, your faith would grow and your roots would grow deeper. Verse 17. My prayer is that you will grow in love that you will grasp and experience and share the extravagant, outrageous love of God. My prayer is that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 19. And as you pray, and as I pray, our Father who art in heaven, may we all continue to grow stronger in a relationship with God and in a relationship with each other. God bless you. Amen.